back at it here on the Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS. Daryl Grandy here, and back with my good friend Timothy Myers from the Baptist Senior Family. That's baptistseniorfamily.org. This is Advised Aging on the Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS. And we had a great conversation a few weeks back, and I wanted to make sure we get you back on the show to talk more about the great stuff happening at Baptist Senior Family. Timothy Myers, welcome.
Thanks, Daryl. Glad, pleasure to be here again.
And always great to see you. And this time, you did not come alone.
No, I brought Amy Dukes, who is our Vice President of Marketing and Public Relations. Last time we were here, we had a discussion about the industry in general, the big things going on, some of the challenges and the headwinds. And today we want to have the discussion be more about how is it that consumers can interact with our industry. What is our industry? What does it provide? How people should be prepared to access it, and what it can do for them.
So, now, just to drill back a little bit for people listening for the first time, again, baptistseniorfamily.org, that industry is senior care.
Correct.
And talking about that, so we're really going to take a dive into what is senior care, and just sort of break down some of the basics and talk about what some of the things that people need to know are. If someone's listening for the first time, if you're like me and have parents who are approaching that age, senior care might be a viable option, this is the place to listen to, really. So in Baptist Senior Family, the place to check out, once again, baptistseniorfamily.org. So break it down, basic structure here. What are some of the different levels of care that you can need or receive as we talk about senior care? I mean, it's a pretty all-encompassing term for just two words.
It is indeed. And in the long-term care industry, and Amy and I'll go back and forth,
sure.
There's four basic levels of care. One is independent living for those folks who are still healthy, can take care of their day-to-day needs, and can live independently in every way. We have personal care, and which is called in Pennsylvania, it's referred to as assisted living in most of the rest of the country.
Okay.
That's for folks who can live independently but have some needs that are typically not medically related.
Is there any reason why it's different in Pennsylvania, the nomenclature?
Yeah, without getting into too far into details.
Sure.
Pennsylvania actually has personal care and assisted living.
They have both. Okay.
The assisted living in Pennsylvania is for folks who have more acute needs, who have a higher level of dependence on external staff to help them, whereas personal care in Pennsylvania is for folks who typically don't have medical needs.
Got it.
So you have independent living, you have personal care. There's also skilled nursing, which we talked about last week.
Right.
Skilled nursing is really at the point for folks who need help with medical issues, who can no longer care for themselves. I'm generalizing, but
sure,
that's that level of care. And then memory support. Memory support is interesting in that many times there is no medical component. There is no medical need. There's simply a loss of mental facility. Sometimes that's coupled with a medical need, and other times not. So those are the four basic pieces: independent living, personal care, skilled nursing, and then the memory support. What we want to try to do today is kind of go through and talk about what does each provide.
Sure.
What are the costs? Who pays for it?
Absolutely. Very important.
And then also what folks could do to plan for the needs that are coming up. So I'll start with independent living.
Sure.
And then Amy, if you want to cover personal care. Independent living, again, as I'd said, that's for folks who are independent in every way. So you could think about independent living in a community like an apartment building.
Sure.
That's essentially what it is. The different providers will give different services. Some will have full meals, some won't. Some will have housekeeping, some will have maintenance. It's really all over the spectrum.
And it's customizable to each individual, really.
To a great degree it is.
Sure.
When you approach an independent living provider, they're going to be able to say, these are our services, these are our amenities, this is what comes with what you pay each month. And it's important to understand there's two basic kinds of independent living. One is a rental. Like you would pay if you went to an apartment
for
building.
Apartment, you pay
X dollars per month. Many times those rentals will have a small entry fee, $5,000, $20,000, in that range somewhere that you pay up front.
That's true.
Typically non-refundable. And then there's entrance fees where you'll pay a large amount up front that could be several hundred thousand dollars, and then you'll pay what is typically a lower monthly fee compared to a rental. So it's important to understand how the fees work. With an entrance fee, you have to understand, do I get any of it back when I leave? If not, how does that work? But really, independent living is just like apartment living.
Sure.
the privileges that you get, and the advantages are you have typically housekeeping, you have dining, you have the social element. And we talked last week about social isolation being a big challenge.
Right.
One of the great advantages of any community is the ability to socialize. And being amongst not only the staff, but more importantly, your fellow residents, is a tremendous advantage for a lot of the communities.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's equal experience. I mean, it's equal. It's very much a communal situation where they become your neighbors and, in many cases, your friends.
Yep. And so, you know, the cost there, you can probably $2,000 a month on the low end would be what you'd look at. And you can go up to $5,000-$7,000 a month if you want to. Palatial unit.
Sure.
But again, it very much depends on the quality, the location, the services of the community. But independent living is the simplest of all of the pieces to understand. And Amy, if you want to talk about personal care, that would be great.
Sure.
So after independent living, sometimes we have people who need some assistance, maybe more housekeeping assistance with bathing safely, getting dressed, grooming, preparing meals, managing medications. Those types of things can be provided at a personal care home.
Okay.
With personal care homes, you have options. There are many different personal care homes, especially in this area, and they provide a variety of options. And usually when you're looking at payment, you go in and you pay a base fee if you're pretty independent.
Sure.
And then as your needs change and you need additional services, you receive those services and have an additional fee.
So it's sort of like a la carte in a way?
A lot of them are. Some are all-inclusive, but a lot of them are a la carte. So it's really important to know that as you're looking at personal care homes and planning financially, that base fee is not necessarily what you're going to pay.
Sure.
With personal care homes, they offer great services. A lot of them offer independent private apartments, so you don't have a roommate. And you just get help when you need it. You press a button when you need help, and people are there for you.
Okay.
And people are there for you around the clock, which is also a really nice thing. That if you, a lot of people have issues in the middle of the night, there's usually no one around if you're independent in your own apartment or in your own home, but in a personal care home,
so
there
It really is customizable, I mean, to almost any taste. I mean, some people prefer the solitude, and some people prefer to have somebody just right there, I mean, in terms of a roommate or neighbors next door. So it does cater to the needs of every individual.
Right, and it's really nice in this area that we have so many options. So you can really shop around and find what fits your needs and desires.
Sure.
There is a huge social aspect to personal care homes. It's a big part of what they offer, activities that are of interest to their residents. We can cite studies, but we're not going to. But there are a bunch of studies that show that socialization and engagement is what is keeping people healthier and more capable for longer.
Sure.
Really, you have to get out and engage and use your mind and move around. If you have activities and you can go to a group area and have meals with your friends, you're going to eat more, you're going to eat better.
Yeah, that's the word, engage. You use the word. It's all about engagement. I mean, the further removed you are, even for a little bit, the isolation and the lack of engagement, for lack of a better term, is I mean, that can be detrimental, especially, you know, almost at an exponential level when you get the more advanced you are in age.
Right, and we saw that really a lot with COVID, that a lot of people
absolutely.
Were isolated and really declined physically, cognitively, because they really just didn't have that engagement that they would typically have because they couldn't leave.
And that brought an experience that, you know, is in the context of Baptist Senior Family and what we're talking about here, that COVID brought that experience that, you know, we're talking about that on a senior level, that really brought it home to people of most any age.
Yes.
Not just seniors felt that during COVID.
Absolutely. So really understanding what the benefits are of those social programs is something that we can all understand at this point.
Sure.
And we have Genworth, which is a long-term care company. They do a financial study every year for different areas, and they give us average costs of care. So just to help listeners understand what we're talking about financially, with a personal care home, the average cost of care in this area to start is $3,250 a month.
Okay.
And that was for 2022, and that is prior to looking at those levels of care and a la carte services.
Sure, sure. That's a base level there. So,
well, I think it's important, too, to understand for independent living and personal care, the only payer source is the person accessing that care.
Right.
There is no government subsidy for, typically, I mean, there's government subsidy for lower income housing.
Sure, right.
But for you know, the average person, if you will. It's coming out of your pocket. So as Amy said, and you look at $3,200 a month, you know, you're talking $40,000 a year.
Sure.
So it's important, and we're going to talk a bit more about how you prepare for that, how you save for that, because
absolutely,
it's a significant amount of money.
You don't find that in your pocket.
Right.
Most people don't, no.
I don't.
So, yeah, and again, so we look at those two levels of care, we get into skilled nursing.
Sure.
And this is the what everyone thinks of as the old people's home.
Right,
you
know, right.
The nursing home.
Right.
And in the nursing home, as I talked about, a skilled nursing, is you have folks there who need medical attention, and they need it many 24/7, and there are varying degrees of this.
Sure.
What's important to understand, too, is many people have experiences with a nursing home, which is relatively short. So I think it's important to talk about, some people will have acute episodes. I fall and break my hip.
Right.
I go to the hospital, they fix it up, and then I need to be rehabbed. Many people will go to either skilled nursing or personal care for a short period of time while they're doing that.
Sure.
Many other people will access the care for a much longer period, 1 year, 2 years. We have residents who were in skilled nursing for several years.
Mm.
So it's important to understand there's a number of different ways to interface with skilled nursing. And how you interface with it is important, too, as far as who pays for it.
Sure.
So if you have a short-term event, you break your hip and you're rehabbing in skilled nursing, Medicare, which is a federal program,
right,
Medicare will pay for typically short-term stays to cure an acute episode, very generally. We had talked about the Medicaid program last week. Medicaid is for generally residents or individuals that have limited financial means, limited assets, limited income particularly. That is for long-term stays. Again, I'm generalizing. So unless a resident coming into a skilled nursing facility has limited means, after the Medicare has paid for their stay, which is relatively limited, then it's really on them. It's they and their families are who are footing the bill. We talked about independent living as a wide range of what it might cost.
Sure.
As Amy had said, personal care is about $3,250 a month. When you get into skilled nursing, you're on average in our area, it's $11,000 a month in skilled nursing care. So when you think of someone who's going to have a two-year stay, you're going to need $250,000 in the bank,
right,
to do that, which is within some of our means, but not all of our means.
No.
We'll talk a bit, too, about planning. Well, what we often see, unfortunately, is families will come with their loved one who needs care. They'll discover how much it is. And then they will make the decision, the family will make the decision, well, we're not going to move mom in quite yet, even though that's what she needs.
Sure.
Many times that decision is based upon them thinking in their heads, there goes my inheritance.
Right, right.
And so,
right,
and again, some of that is a lack of planning, some of that is a lack of education. We're going to talk more about that. But skilled nursing is expensive. There's no two ways around that.
Right, no two ways around that. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is Advised Aging Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS. Daryl Grandy here with Timothy Myers and Amy Dukes of Baptist Senior Family. Once again, baptistseniorfamily.org for more information on that. Talk about all things senior care and the many options that people have, the different levels that people have to receive the best care that they need. So now talk about the memory. Talk about the memory.
Sure.
The fourth pillar there.
Yeah, the memory support, as we'd said before, it doesn't necessarily mean that someone has a physical impairment or
right,
needs medical care. Sometimes it does. But the memory impairment is really for folks who are starting to have need assistance with just their basic activities. That's
sure,
where it starts. They forget to brush their teeth. They forget to bathe. They forget to eat.
Right.
Oftentimes. And so there are memory programs that are designed to help cue people to figure out where are they in their progression of memory loss.
Sure.
And it goes differently for different people. It manifests differently. It goes at different rates. I mean, it's all over the board. But the memory support programs are really designed to meet those people where they are, to meet them where their current level of functioning and cognition is, and help them be successful. And when you look at that, it's often very, very difficult to figure out how effective a memory support program is. And what I mean by that is the success of memory support is really in its programming. What sure. do we do? What are our organized activities? How do we recognize the cognitive ability of somebody? How do we support them? One thing consumers need to be aware of is that many times you will go to a community that says, we are a memory support community. And you ask what their programming is, and they say, well, we have a locked unit to keep people from wandering, which is fairly typical.
Right.
Well, okay, if that's all they have, that's a prison,
not a
memory support program.
Yeah.
So it's important to understand that you're not going to make someone's memory impairment better. You're not going to reverse the process. You may slow it, perhaps.
Yeah, stabilize it, maybe.
But you're not going to reverse it. So you really the best programs are designed to help them celebrate what ability they still have, to slow that progression, and above all else, to keep them safe. Does not mean to keep them secluded. It means to keep them safe. And again, the social needs that you or I or any other seniors may have is exactly the same for memory support. And so it's absolutely fundamentally important to understand what programming does the community have. How are they going to support your loved one? How are they going to report back to you to understand what the decline is, to understand what the functioning is? I can't stress that enough, that is just absolutely important.
Sure. It's the system. It's not so much the methodology as it's just the system in place from stem to stern in terms of how everything sort of fits together. I mean, to impart physical confinement as a way to address a mental issue does not seem like a direct path to success.
It's not, but it's easier and it's cheaper.
There you go.
So I think the other wrinkle in these services, in independent living, personal care, and skilled nursing, is home care.
Right.
Particularly the last few years, we've seen a great surge towards providing care at home. And so Amy's going to kind of walk us through the great things, the problematic things related to in-home care.
Please do.
And I think with working within the senior community, we typically see that if people are in an independent living apartment or at home, they try to stay there for as long as possible, whether that's positive or negative for them. So we need to know what's available in the home and who pays for it. And one of the things that it's important to also look at, as Tim mentioned, is this an acute need or a long-term need?
Sure.
So if you have an acute need, like you went to the hospital and you're discharged home and you need some support for a short time, insurance will pay for home care. So they will pay for a nurse to come in, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. There are wonderful programs that can come into your home, but they are short-term.
Okay.
And just like short-term rehab in a nursing home, the insurance looks at it and reviews it every week to see if you're making progress. And if you're not making progress, then they end that program.
Okay.
But that is definitely something we encourage people to take advantage of, because it helps them to become stronger while they're in their home setting.
Sure.
But a lot of people need more support than that. And that's when we get into non-medical home care.
Non-medical, okay.
Non-medical home care provides those assistance with daily tasks like bathing, dressing, grooming, meal prep, housekeeping, laundry, those types of things that you may have a challenge doing independently in your own home.
Okay.
And that can be really wonderful. Those programs can be really helpful, but you pay for them out of your pocket. So you really have to look at your budget for that. And it can be challenging to find staff. You know, Tim talked last time about the challenges that we have with staffing currently in senior care, and that is just going to get worse as our population changes. So when we're looking at in-home services, a lot of people try to manage their needs at home and then decide that it makes more sense to move to a personal care home or a skilled nursing facility, because just getting appropriate staffing to assist you in your home can be really difficult. And that's when you have that one-on-one staffing. Home care agencies have a minimum number of hours.
Right.
So even if you only need help for 1 hour, if you want the help, you may have to pay and have someone come in for 4 hours.
Sure, to make it worth a while.
Exactly. So it can become really challenging. And when we talk about pricing, the average price for home care in this area is $28 an hour.
Okay.
And the average person who receives home care to stay in their home receives 44 hours a week.
Okay, so that's about $1,300 dollars a week?
About $5,500 a month.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes it makes more sense and is more cost effective to move into a personal care home rather than trying to maintain at home. Additionally, one of the challenges that we see with the insurance-based medical home care as well as the private non-medical home care is that you still don't really get out of that social isolation.
Right.
You don't
right.
get that socialization because you have to be home for your worker to come.
Yeah, you're home.
Right. So it can be an additional challenge because your only interaction is then with your worker and with your family as they come to visit. And you lose a lot of those things that you like to do independently.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, like going to the club or going to the store, those types of things that are important social pieces. You lose that when you are receiving those services at home.
Yeah, it's great to have those services at home, but you also there's still that trade-off you have to make. You need to find the socialization somewhere just to keep that element of your mind, of your consciousness still active because you don't want that to atrophy among anything else.
Right.
So we've looked at it, again, very briefly, we've described the different services. One of the things we wanted to focus on is what can you do to get ready?
Sure.
Again, we all know we're going to age. The chances are most of us are going to need services of some sort at some point in our life. And what can we do to get started? The most important thing is to plan before you need care.
Yes.
You're most deliberate, you're most rational, take as much time as you need when you don't need the care. We see so many people that are faced with a medical emergency particularly, but have no plan to address it. I would say the hallmark of planning is to make sure your loved ones and those that have your power of attorney or will make decisions for you when you cannot is to educate,
right,
and make sure they are on the same page as you are. And Daryl, you had said your parents are aging.
Yep.
When I have one parent left, when my mother was getting ready to go and needed care, it was interesting for me to be on the other side of the table
sure.
and looking for care. And fortunately, my sister and I have one sibling, my sister and I were of the same mind, but many families, that does not happen. They are not of the same mind.
Yeah, you have to be on the same page. You have to. I mean, it's a hard conversation.
It is.
It's a very hard conversation because it's uncomfortable. It's a necessary one, but it can be an uncomfortable one, uncomfortable one.
Yep. So a lot of it is the senior who's going to be accessing the care to make sure their loved ones or their power of attorneys know this is what I want.
Sure.
It's always helpful to write it out.
Yes.
You can say it if you have five children and you say this is what I want to the five children. 2 years later, they all five are going to remember it differently. I mean,
right.
You know,
right.
Not, so it's important to write it out. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to pay $50,000 for a legal document.
Right.
Just write it down so everyone knows what you want.
Sure.
You know, again, I'll use the example when my father passed away. My sister, my mother, and I had to pull the plug to take life support off, but we were helped because he was very clear in what he wanted. And so that decision, which could tear a family apart, for ours was much easier because it was clear what he wanted.
Because he put it in writing, he let it. And again, it's a hard thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do. And the sooner the better. When everybody is of the same on the same page, when the senior in question is of the best mind to do so, it's for the best overall.
It is, and it's important too because if you go to independent living, and one of the things we didn't talk about is there are many communities. Providence Point is a great example,
sure,
where we have all of the various services under one roof. So independent living, personal care, memory support, skilled nursing, home care is all under the same roof. And there are many great quality operators that do that.
Sure.
It's important, too, if many seniors will go to an independent living community that don't have those services. So a bit of planning is, if I need them, how do I access them? Where
right.
do I go?
Find the right path.
But as we've talked about, independent living, all the services, we're talking about significant amounts of money. And again, it's up to the seniors to what they want to do, but they have to be clear. And having money conversations with your family is never pleasant. It's never easy.
No.
But you need to be the senior needs to take ownership of this is what I want.
Right.
Because again, unfortunately, been in the industry a long time. Money does weird things to people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And when they see that. What do you mean mom's going to spend $250,000 for care to keep her healthy? Oh, we can't have that. And again, that's not every family, of course, but The more money that's in play, the weirder people get.
I can imagine that, absolutely. So just about ready to wrap things up here. Great conversation once again with Timothy Myers and Amy Dukes from Baptist Senior Family. Once again, baptistseniorfamily.org. We'll talk to you again down the road. Any final thoughts you want to impart on our listeners before we go this morning?
No, just to encourage folks, again, plan. Talk to your loved ones. Baptistseniorfamily.org is a great place to start. There are many other places, and in fact, we're going to have some folks join us in the future.
Can't wait.
That can provide more information on how to get started and how to treat yourself well.
Excellent conversation. Once again, Timothy Myers, Amy Dukes, thank you so very much for joining us this morning here. And we'll talk with the people from Baptist Senior Family later on down the road. Once again, this is Advised Aging Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS. Daryl Grandy signing off. Once again, baptistseniorfamily.org. It's where you start to get the first step in this often difficult process, but they'll make it easy for you. They'll explain their options, and we will go from there. So we'll catch you right back here down the road. Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS, signing off. Take care.